Mr. Pullen, reel 25.
No, you were explaining to me how you found you had some difficulties with the merchant seamen. Carry on telling me about that.
Well, in one case, I was a year on North Country ship saying, threw him in there if ever we're caught. The German says they'll cut us up in pieces and send us back to the British Admiralty. And that was a Geordie, as he'd be saying that to him, see? And they were people like that. They were very awkward people to deal with altogether.
How did they feel about having you Royal Naval people with
Didn't
your
like
gun?
Didn't like it at all. Didn't like it. That was one of their faults, you see. They never speak to me, you know, never have much to do with me at all. I used to walk up on my own, up on deck, or just walk, if it was too bad on deck, I'd walk down here, up and down, you know, walk about all the time, see? And just look at my gun to see if everything was. It was easy going, like, dirty, never washed, never, might shave once now and then. I can't ever remember washing on board, and bathing, no, didn't bath. Neither did in the destroyer. Whether it was always too rough for bathing or washing. We never bathed or washed.
Now, you were telling me that during your period on the Marsh Fort, you had three actions against German submarines.
Yeah, that's right.
Could you describe each of those incidents for me, please?
Well, in the first one, she'd already now sunk one of our ships. And she laid off at a certain distance, and I fired at her, and she went down. Everything went a bit calm now, see, and the escort, there was a convoy in then, see. So the convoy carried on with their work, traveling along, lost that ship. Captain come along, and he says, you've lost that submarine, Pullen. Well, that was the first one. The second one was similar to that.
Just let me get one thing straight. Were you sailing on your own when these actions took place?
Oh, no. We was
what were you
convoying.
Doing?
We was convoying, escorting a certain number of ships from England to Gibraltar and from Gibraltar to the Middle East. So we had, all we had to do was keep the lookout on these ships, you know, see? And I know that on the first beginning, going down off Ushant, the engineer, he was a Liverpool Irish, big ginger-headed chap, he said, what about making us one of those bases of Navy cocoa? I had some Navy cocoa on board, see? So I made him a basin of cocoa, and I made myself one in the galley. And just we went to drink it, the uterus went in myriads of explosions. That was the subs that got amongst our convoy. We had, I think they said we had 22 ships. And when we got to Gibraltar, we had two ships left. I saw one ship go down with four steam engines on board. Two there and two there. I actually see that early in the morning. Go down, you know, see? Make you cry to see the stuff going down. It was surprising to see the amount of stuff we lost. We lost a lot like that. And my last lot of all, not exactly the last lot, but before the last lot, I got up one morning, ship was just locked. She could only do 8 knots, this mystery ship. I went out and leaned over on the gunner like that, and a terrific explosion. Five of them ships was torpedoed. And they rushed away. Four of them got away all right. And the Marconi, a ship called the Marconi, stood stationary. She wouldn't budge. And the crew got out of her. My captain shouted to them, go back to your ship. They said, no fear, she's sinking. So another ship behind picked them up. Carried on in, see? So we waited there for about half an hour. And my captain said to the captain that used to be in that ship, Thomas, he said, my captain said to me, Pullen, he said he had Lloyd's book there, you know. He said, Pullen, if we can save that ship, he said, we'll never want to work no more. He said, would you like to row me across there in the boat? I said, yes, sir. So he got in the dinghy and we took him aboard there. The tables was all laid out. She was a mighty big ship. She belonged to the Lambert Knoll Company. Tables all laid with the silver on and that, see. And he said to me, don't you touch nothing because it's looting. I said, well, there's a chicken in the end coop up there. I said, I'll take that on board. He said, all right, take it then. And I took a fountain pen I got there now. Found that. And we come back to the ship. And he said to me, get all the oarses up. He said, I'm going to take her in tow. So we had three Linden oarses on board. I got these oarses up. We got alongside of her. Tied these oarses to her, look, see. And then each man that was there, give him a hatchet in case she went down, because she'd have took us with her, look, see. If she was going down, they could chop the oarses away, see, let her go. We got her into Gibraltar, but before we got her in, some surveying officers come out of Gibraltar, about 15 or 20 miles out, see. And one officer said, she's making water badly. Ah, no. There was a porthole in her. Well, them very few ships had portholes. She was a new ship, see? And they said to the captain, would anybody go down and close that porthole? So he said, ask me, look, see? I said, I'll go down, but I'll put a even line around me, see? I went down there, and I got over the iron bar to open the iron door, you know, pry the door open. Because the water now was about that high, and it was all dark in there, see? I walked through there, and I thought to myself, there's a crowd of dead men here. This is between your eyes. It wasn't dead men, it was cabbages. It was just like men's heads, you know, see? There was only just that dim light half there, and I screwed that porthole right up as tight as I could. And I went through to the waist out there. When I come out, that man said to me, give me your official number. He said, and I'll see that you're well paid for this, see? I never know about it. But we saved the ship, and when we got her into Gibraltar, there was one man dead down in the stokehold, another one with his leg off. We hadn't known that for about 3 or 4 days.
What was the name of the ship?
Marconi.
That was the Marconi, yeah.
Marconi.
Now, you described the first of the actions against German submarines. Mm-hmm. What about the other two? Where did they happen?
Well, the second one happened a bit, that was it lasted a bit longer. No good.
Well, where was it and what happened?
She torpedoed about 5 of our ships, see, before I could get at her, like, see. When I could get at her, she dipped and they fired a couple of rounds at her, see. Well, if one round hits her, she can't come up again, okay, if she got a hole in her. Mm. And my captain come along, he said, that's the second one you've lost, see. You get too excited, he said to me. All right. Now, the third one was different.
Where was this happening? Where were you?
I should think about, 40 miles away from Gibraltar, towards the Middle East.
Okay, so the third one now.
Now, the third one, we should have been out of Genoa, Italy, about 4 hours. So we'll say we was about 20 miles away. We had a convoy there, see? And this, all at once, this sub rose up. Oh, pretty big one, too, she was. Of course, I suppose they always look bigger than what they are. He shouts out, get out that ship, I'm going to sink you, see? My captain and his yes, here, see, he can speak to me like you are. He said, Pullen, don't you do nothing till I tell you, look, see? I said, all right. I waited. And there was that piece of the ship that comes down. There was a port there, see, that painted all black paint, you know, maybe. But I rubbed a bit of that off, and I had a hole there about as big as a penny. We had a good field outside, see, and I could see her through there, see. And my crew there, remember one of them, Scotchman, he was chewing his hand, there was blood running all down there. You know, I said to him, you got nothing to worry about. You want to be in the big ships like I've been? I said, not muck like this, it's nothing, see. All at once, he fired around and it comes to our mess deck. And they had a dog on board. They bought it at Algiers, a little, I suppose they grew up to be these black Spaniards. It was like a little pudding on the boat ship. And one of the crew said to me, "Gonna work when I put that dog." I said, "Put him in my cabin. He'll be on it there, see." So they put this dog in my cabin. Now the action started, see. This mastic blew a part of the mastic away, this one shell. And I let go as well, see. When we got him in close enough. And all at once he dipped, dived. My captain come along and says, "You better put the crew all around, my own round around the ship now." He said, "He'll follow us tonight and sink us, see." So I put the crew all around, and I used to go around every hour and say, "See anything? See tears coming in, yes?" "No, skipper, not here." Couple of days, I went to get this dog, and that dog went right away to nothing. Finally, they put him in a bag and put him overboard. Nervous breakdown, I suppose. He lost his nerve, see? And I thought that's something, because I've seen men with it, you know, shell shock in the war.
Did you see the sub again?
No.
That was the end of it, wasn't it?
That was the end of Erlock, see?
Mm-hmm.
Get out of it, I'm going to sink in. He didn't sink, see? Well, that was the last of the subs then, see?
Mm.
My captain then says, "You lost them." But when the time come, they paid me for them. So I didn't lose them after all. They found out where they were sunk, you know, see? And they paid me a good bit of money when my time, when they gave a rise of pay and all that, see?
Mm.